Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Amazing Race Rewind podcast, the podcast where we rewind back in time to watch the earliest seasons of The Amazing Race for the first time. My name is Andrew.
And I'm Jill.
And we are here today with the second episode of season five. Jill, you famously did not like episode one. What are your thoughts on episode two? Has it grown on you? You're still down in the dumps or what?
Here's the thing. The episode was fine. I thought the tasks were pretty good. It just didn't, I don't know. I guess maybe it's the teams, maybe. I don't know what it is, but something is just not hitting.
And you know what? I don't know if it's your influence or if I came to this conclusion on my own, but I agreed.
Yes.
I thought this was a little bit boring. It kind of was. I do think that the editing was objectively good. There were good storylines throughout the episode.
And you saw a lot of every team.
I had a good idea of what was going on. There were easy to follow narratives that were objectively entertaining, I think, but it was just missing that something for whatever reason.
And I'm also seeing a trend of, I feel like in prior seasons, I think there's been a trend of, say, the first three episodes, the team that gets eliminated really gets given no screen time, and that is not the case these past two.
No, and also, and this is a good thing about the season, is that a lot of the teams that you would expect to do well and the teams that you would expect to do poorly is not, it's not falling in the way that it normally does. Like, the top teams, like the young, fit, athletic teams are not the top teams
in this race. But can I argue the fact there that they have a lot more personal issues and a lot more issues with communication and teamwork that are holding them back?
They do. They definitely do. Which we haven't seen as much in other seasons. True. Like, I think this is a little bit less predictable, where you would look at a team like the Bowling Moms and say, okay, they're going to go pretty early. But they've been doing really well.
I love them. I really do.
And same with Bob and Joyce. They're in the top half once more.
They're killing it. They really are.
They're killing it. So overall, not that exciting of an episode, I thought, but there's still a lot to discuss, I think.
Yeah, there's a substantial amount to discuss. It's just, I'm not, this episode did not make me any fonder of season five than I already was.
Yeah, it was just kind of missing the special sauce here that maybe we'll uncover why during
we need the recipe
episode. We need the recipe, but maybe we'll uncover it here. In this season five, episode two podcast.
Maybe we're going to be the chefs that make it.
We will.
We are Remy Ratatouille in the kitchen here.
Yeah, we're in the kitchen. Maybe we just need a little bit of Italian seasoning and then it'll be all okay. Okay. So we are starting in Casa Pueblo in Uruguay, where we left off, and the teams are wining, dining, and mingling with each other.
Indeed. And nothing happens. It's too early in the season. To me, it's too early in the season to show any real drama behind the scenes at the pit stop yet, so.
Yeah, everybody's very amicable with each other. They're having a laugh. They're just getting to know each other. And the first team to depart are Allison and Donnie. They say that yelling is their way of communicating, which it has been their storyline up to this point and will be their story for this episode as well.
Yeah, and it's not a healthy means of communication. Look, everyone needs to get their anger out at some point. Everyone is in the right to express some frustration. But if it's a primary source of communication, I don't think you're going to do well on The Amazing Race.
Unlikely. But Allison said it's working. And we'll see how long that lasts. We'll see how long it works. Okay, they're instructed to drive to Montevideo, the capital of Uruguay, and find a disco, where within the disco, they'll have to find inflated balls painted like globes. And they have to rip open these balls and find clues within them. All of these teams are leaving in very short time intervals from each other. Like, we're talking 4 or 5 minutes here. Marshall and Lance, 12:51. Lyndon Carr, 12:54. 1:05. Bob and Joyce, Charlotte Mirna, 1:08. Like, all of these teams are pretty much one after the other. I have a couple comments from some of the teams. Nicole of Nicole and Brandon is saying that she is not convinced that Brandon will be her husband.
She says that she is absolutely 100% sure that Brandon is the kind of guy that she would look to for a husband. She just doesn't know if he's her husband.
So she's waiting on that something. Maybe she's got to find the Italian seasoning for Brandon to really tie it all together. She's looking for the recipe just as we are here.
Okay. She's not looking for the recipe. She's looking for the final product.
Right. She has the recipe. She has the recipe.
She has Brandon to see what, has all how, of the bread, ingredients. How the bread is. She has to see what the bread maker makes.
Right.
I gotta stop us for a second here. Last week we were commenting on how good we've become at this kind of the more flourished commentary that we make, and how we're able to just kind of, you know, ad lib on top of the facts. And I think it got to our heads this week because we're doing
this is too much.
We're doing a horrible job.
We've never done this before.
Okay, back to basics. Anyway, Nicole says that.
Okay. Chip says, we've done everything you possibly can do wrong. So they're hoping to learn from that and move on to have a more successful leg this time around. Cammy and Carly, they say that they're going to work with Chip and Kim because they're leaving at the same time. And they somehow lose Chip and Kim immediately.
Yeah, so that's a short-lived alliance.
Yeah, and the editors are kind of planting seeds a little bit here.
Oh, they're really, what is it called? They're foreshadowing.
They are, for sure. Cammy and Carly, they get into a little argument here. One of them, the one who's driving, says, oh, so you're a better navigator and driver? You're perfect, I forgot. And then the other one says, I'm not perfect, I'm just better.
And they go on to say that they're each other's best friend, and they are also each other's worst enemy.
Yeah, a very sisterly dynamic.
Well, they're twins, so that's another level of, I can't even imagine.
Yeah. Jim and Marcia, who Jim famously has 25 stitches in his knee currently, is saying that they want to get to the pit stop faster to embarrass the other teams.
As they should.
Yeah. Okay, so we get all teams get to the disco with little trouble. The Bowling Bombs are actually the first ones to arrive. And they enter this foam party disco club wearing their bowling attire.
This place...
They're in their shirts.
I don't know if a place like this exists in Canada, but I wish it did. Because it looks like a hoot. It's just like... It's a dance floor. I hope there's good music playing. And then there's just foam everywhere. And I just looked at it. I was like, that would be such a good... Like, I would just be dancing and jumping into the foam. Like, just... throwing myself onto the floor into the foam. It looks like so much fun.
It does look like fun. Although there was some questionable behavior going on at this dance party. So I don't know if it's exactly the place to be.
That's why you start throwing yourself onto the floor and jumping on the foam. Because no one's going to want to interact with that girl.
Right, if you're being a freak.
Oh, I wouldn't say freak.
So okay, we have a small montage of teams asking locals for help. We see Marshall and Lance. They're pulling up to a group of people who can't really help Marshall and Lance. They don't know where they're trying to go. They make a comment saying that the locals here, they were, quote, useless foreigners. Which is such, like, an American thing to say. It's like, you were in somebody else's country
you're
calling them foreigners.
It's like, you are the seriously? Foreigner.
So that's another knock to Marshall and Lance. They're really not making a great impression on me here.
No. And honestly, I think out of all the teams present this episode, they are the one you see the least of.
Yeah, we did not see Marshall and Lance.
Very seldom.
Cammy and Carly are also asking locals for help. And they say, Donde Shake Mega Disco. And there was a lot of Spanish... speaking or attempt at Spanish here.
It was pretty good. It was like, for the most part, like it's very broken, but as someone who can speak to a little beyond the level they were speaking, it was good for the most part. There were a couple instances of like that just doesn't, like, just speak English at that point, like you're not adding anything. But some other teams were pretty proficient, I would say.
Yeah, it was working for them. Okay, so once they get the clue from the foam party, they are instructed to drive more than 100 miles to the ferry station to then take a ferry to Buenos Aires, Argentina.
Yes, we have a little bit of a self-drive here, as you would say.
Yeah, that's right.
So Allison and Donnie get there first, and we find out that the first ferry leaves at 4:30 a.m. And I was thinking, oh, this is going to be detrimental. Like, this is going to be, so many teams are going to not be on it. It's going to separate the pack. I was shocked.
Yeah, that was not the case. So everybody seems to make it onto this 4:30 a.m. ferry with ease, with the exception of Charlotte and Myrna.
They are
having a hard time.
They are fighting tooth and nail to get on this ferry. They have some navigational troubles getting from the club to the port. And they literally, everyone is on the ferry. It's 4:30. And everyone's like, why aren't we pulling away? Come on, let's go. And the woman at the ticket counter tells Charlotte and Myrna, the ferry's waiting for you. Go, go, go.
Yes. So this lady was able to hold the boat for them, it seemed. And as Charlotte and Myrna were pulling up to the port, it's like they were showing like dramatic clips of them like closing the gates of the ferry and like, oh, they're never going to make it. But then they did. So there we go. They're all in the same boat.
Quite literally.
Yeah.
That was good. That one was good. I'll give you that. Thank
you. Okay. So Charlotte and Myrna, they make it on miraculously. Hooray for them.
Yes. And their clue is telling them, and instantly everyone, well, I wouldn't say everyone, most of the teams take the opportunity of this ferry ride to start digging into their next clue, which is they must, in Buenos Aires, they have to look for the grave of former First Lady Evita Perón.
Yeah. Now, the thing is there's a little bit of confusion because she is buried at the Recoleta Cemetery. But many teams also go to the, what was the other one called? I can't remember. This other cemetery where her husband was buried.
Yeah, essentially, when some teams are receiving information, the locals tell, or either just the language barrier or just not knowing that Evita was buried elsewhere, the locals send them to where, they send them to where Juan Perón was buried.
Right. Yes. And as the teams are leaving the airports and they see that we're seeing the taxis, there is another aerial shot of the taxis. I don't know if I'm just noticing this now or if we had this in other seasons where they had like,
they did not have this many aerials in the last couple seasons. I can tell you that.
Yeah. So I thought that was cool. It's like that they were able to set this up in Argentina. Like, how did they do it back then? They didn't have drones, did they?
Helicopter.
They literally got a freaking helicopter.
Yeah, when did...
In Argentina.
When did drones become a part of filmmaking? Oh, drones began entering filmmaking in a technical capacity in the late 70s and 80s, with their use becoming more established in the 90s.
Okay, well...
Early 2000s, companies began introducing drones to the civilian market, though they were not immediately mainstream for filmmaking.
So it might have been. Maybe not, though.
I think the chance that it was is pretty low, but also to Reagan rent a helicopter and time it would be pretty impressive. So who really
Ridiculous.
Knows?
Ridiculous. Yeah, and does not seem like it would really be worth it to do all that to get a helicopter just for this one shot of a taxi leaving the airport.
Yeah, so maybe, I don't know, something for the deep dive.
Maybe if somebody knows of filming logistics from 2004. So... we get into a little bit of controversy here where Jim and Marcia, their whole storyline for this episode is going to be that they exchanged their money at the airport because the bowling moms told them to do so, quote unquote.
Yeah, so allegedly the bowling moms told them that the cabs and such don't take American dollars. So they are at the ferry dock or the ferry port and they are waiting in line to exchange their USD for pesos. And everyone else is left. And you get this... the editors are getting... they're getting good at comedy here. Because you've got this clip of Jim and Marcia in line waiting to exchange money. And be like, we need pesos. We need pesos. Cut immediately to someone in a cab going, you take American dollars? And the cab driver goes, yes. And that's that.
And Jim and Marcia are noting, by the way, that there's nobody else exchanging their money, not even the bowling moms.
They're very instantly kind of, okay, did we get fooled here? Like, was this a trick? And the thing, it's like, do you think it was a trick or do you think it was a misunderstanding on the behalf of the bowling moms?
Maybe the bowling moms are more savvy than I might think, but something tells me that the bowling moms would not pull something like this on not Jim this and Marcia early. Of all people.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I do think it was a misunderstanding, especially because we never followed up on it. Like, we never saw the bully mom say, oh, chuckle, chuckle, we deceived Jim and Marsha.
Or, like, maybe we didn't hear
from them at all.
Maybe that's their game. That's the game I would play.
I don't know. Because we didn't see any resolution to this episode, so I'm hoping maybe there will be a confrontation of sorts during the pit stop, and that we'll see next episode. Okay, so the teams are off to the cemetery. Charlotte and Myrna are the first ones to arrive, and they find some kind of shuttle to take them to the grave, I guess. And Charlotte is going to wail on her whistle here, which seems so unnecessary.
It kills me, though. It really does.
It's like, does she just have that thing on hand at all times where it's like clipped to her bag, she could just blow it as like a safety whistle, maybe?
Maybe, but you know what? It's coming in hand. They get this vehicle to drive them to the correct grave site, and they get the clue first. And also because, as we mentioned, a lot of the teams who were leading the pack end up at the wrong cemetery.
Exactly. And they open their clue, and it is a detour entitled Perro or Tango. One of the teammates has to walk 8 dogs while the other teammate navigates, and you have to meet various checkpoints along the way to reach the LaFleur statue, and the dogs are going to be right outside of the cemetery here, so you could just get going whenever you want.
And it's what, about a mile route with 3 checkpoints?
Yeah, so it doesn't seem like it's going to be too bad.
Yeah, in theory, it shouldn't be too difficult.
Whereas Tango, you are to travel 1.5 miles to El Tango Theater and search among many similar tango dancing men for the man pictured in the program. And if it's the wrong man, the man is going to take the picture away from you and you have to go back to the lobby, I guess, to get a new picture.
And it's going to be a different man. And just to kind of illustrate this, because that also sounds very simple. It's in an auditorium. The lights are all down. The only lights on are very, very blue lights on the stage. And the men are wearing fedoras. They're all very similarly shaved.
Yep.
So it's actually quite difficult because you can't really see their eyes. You can really only see like their jaw, maybe their bit of their nose. So it is quite difficult to tell. And they're all moving too. They're all dancing.
Yeah. But also it seems like there are maybe like, what, 10 pairs?
Yeah, it's not like it's endless, but it's
like, it could take people a couple tries, but ultimately I don't think it's going to take teams more than 10 minutes to complete this task. Okay, so we see Allison and Donnie, the bowling moms, and Cammy and Carly are the only ones who are going to do the dog walking. Everybody else does the tango. We see Allison, who's going to be the one to walk the dogs. She's being pulled in every direction, while Danny's nose is...
Is it Danny or Donnie?
Donnie.
Okay.
I think, yeah. I think I just wrote Danny there.
No, that's
fine. Donnie, sorry. Yeah.
No, it's okay. I just wanted to check because I was worried I was saying it wrong.
Yes. So Donnie's just kind of standing there while Allison is losing it.
And she was... Okay. She was valid here. Like, he really is... This is kind of where some of their really, really... what's the word? Some of their banter here is, as they say to each other, just outright rude.
Yeah.
Like, I can't pull any quotes off the top of my head because I didn't write it down, but they're just...
Well, here's a couple.
Oh.
I hate you. Shut up. You're an embarrassment. You're a loser.
It's just all very much in that vein, and she's quite literally getting pulled to shreds by these dogs, and he... isn't willing to admit that he needs help reading this map or doesn't know what he's doing, and this is the start of a downfall for them.
To me, this is a very Lenny and Karen kind of dynamic.
I forgot about them. Oh my gosh.
But Allison and Donnie did remind me of Lenny and Karen, where Allison was just kind of berating Donnie, and Donnie was ignoring, essentially. Just like not really doing anything about it. Yes.
He did talk back to her quite bitterly throughout the rest of the episode.
He did. So they run into Linda and Karen during this task, and they decide they're going to work together, and they both end up switching tasks.
It kind of comes to a climax where Allison and Donnie are just yelling at each other in the street, and she's like, I told you I didn't want to do this. I told you that this would be a bad idea. We should have done the tango thing. And he's kind of like, fine then, blah, blah, blah. And then it just seems like Linda and Karen are like, right then.
Let's go.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Allison says dramatically, you know what? We're done. Slow-mo cut to commercial break.
Of course.
Yes. Meanwhile, Charlotte and Myrna complete the tango task first, and they're told to travel either by bus or taxi 70 miles to La Invernada, which is a traditional Argentinian ranch.
Yes, and this is, I think here they or the editors at least, make a point of showing that Charlotte and Myrna choose to take a taxi, that this is going to be a very... Mm-hmm. This can be a very good advantage for them. And honestly, it was. This was a good way to spend their money. And the teams who take the bus option, because it was bus or taxi, they do suffer.
You have to take the taxi. You have to. It's the only option. So Cammy and Carly, they are doing the dog walking task. They get to the first checkpoint with the help of their very own Fern.
Yes.
They have a local who's going to guide them through this entire task.
They found a Fern. And that's really the only reason that they get through it.
Yes. But they were successful. Okay. Other teams get through the tango task. And Bob and Joyce are arriving. They say they love dogs. They're gonna do the dog walking task. Which, we did not see much of Bob and Joyce this episode either.
No, and we never really see the culmination of that either. Like, Bob and Joyce did well, and they did well overall, but they were probably next to the two brothers, the ones we saw the least of.
Yeah, I forgot that they did this, because I don't think we ever really saw.
They're just too competent. There's just no drama there.
There was nothing going on with Bob and Joyce.
They're in it to win it.
Okay, Alice and Donnie, they immediately complete the tango task, and they think that they don't have enough money, or they're trying to save money.
Donnie.
Yes.
Doesn't think that they should take a cab. He thinks they should save money.
And which he tries to discuss with Allison, but Allison is just so fed up with him at this point, she is not going to entertain a discussion. So she says, I'm not even going to talk to you right now. And they just end up taking the bus.
And she says something along the lines of, like, this is going to get us eliminated.
And she knew it.
Yeah.
And she knew it. You always take the cab. I think everybody had the money. Or I guess it's so early in the race, you should have the money to take the cab. If most teams are, unless you're blowing your money on sandwiches at the airport or something, I don't know.
Airport sandwiches are expensive. I traveled last week. A sandwich at an airport in Canada is like $14.
Yes, they scam. They're a bunch of scammers over there. So we see, like, this whole detour is pretty unnotable except for the dog part of it. And I think it's always a decent detour if teams are switching tasks. Like, I like to see teams have to make that decision and choose to switch.
Yes and no. I don't know. I liked the detour and I liked the options. I do get disappointed, though, when... Because it's just kind of so similar to how it set up last season where... If all the teams just abandon one of the tasks, then, like, what's the point?
Yeah, what's the point? But I do, like, I think it's entertaining.
That's fair,
When teams have to contemplate and kind of, like, come to the point where they're like, we're switching. Which I feel like has not happened in Amazing Race history up to this point.
No, that's true. Because also you and I, in the last, I don't know, half a season, 7 episodes, have not really had a discussion of, like, oh, which detour would we do either.
Yeah,
which is weird, because usually we would, like, seriously sit and think about it when it was easier choices.
Yeah, but I think we would do the tango.
No, because,
I don't want to walk 8 dogs. Like, what if they don't comply?
Well, what was the one in from season 1? They cut that whole sequence, but it's like, you never choose the animals.
Yes, don't choose the animals.
They did not want to rad that elephant.
Yeah, that's what Nancy said, famously.
Famously.
So this was overall, like, the tasks themselves were not really that interesting. But we go over to the ranch, which Sharla and Myrna and Brandon and Nicole are the first to arrive there where we get the roadblock.
Which is the person to do this roadblock must have quick hands and quick feet. And Sharla and Myrna somehow become convinced that it's going to involve sticking your arm up a cow.
Yeah, they really convince themselves that they're going to have to get down and dirty within the cow.
Here's the thing. You do that so rarely with cows. You do that for when you help them give birth. And other than that, it's like very, like you have to be a trained vet.
I don't know what they were thinking.
Yeah, you don't have regular civilians sticking their arms and like down the butt of a cow.
Yeah, maybe they thought that the clue was in the intestines of the cow or something. They had to really get in there.
Either way, that is absolutely not what the roadblock is. The roadblock is basically a take on a game for kids where the calves have a bandana tied to their neck and the person doing the roadblock must chase the calf and rip the bandana off their neck. It's very simple. Like it's not hard to undo the bandana. The only rules are you can't like jump on or tackle the calf.
Yeah, you can't really like grab the cow either. Like you can't hold it back.
Yeah.
So I actually thought that this was going to be better than it was. I thought teams were going to struggle with it a little bit more, but it did not turn out to be challenging at all.
No, because I was listening. When Phil's describing it, I'm thinking, well, that was my childhood. I could do that.
Yeah, I thought this would be right up your alley.
I think what would be difficult for me, though, is not jumping on the... Like, I would be throwing myself.
Yeah, I know what you meant. That's why I thought you'd be good. Because you'd be so aggressive with it, too.
You want to know why? Okay, well, this is a little bit different. But so, when I was growing up and when I was taking horseback riding lessons, the rule was, you know, before every lesson, you had to go out to the paddock and get your horse, the school that I trained at. And some of these horses, famously, were known for just being awful when it came to trying to catch them in the paddock. If they saw you coming towards them with a halter and a lead rope, they would run. And the rule was that once you entered the paddock, in the gated area where the horse was, you couldn't leave because that's teaching the horse that they've won. And there would be times where I'm out there for, I'm not kidding, like 30 minutes. It's in the middle of this open field, no trees, wind chill. And I'm fighting this stupid horse that just is running away from me.
So, with that experience, you know what you're doing.
I'm resilient when it comes... If it comes to me in a paddock with an animal that I need to get, get it.
Yeah, that bandana does not stand a chance. So, regardless, Jill's got this task in the bag. And it seems like a lot of other people do as well.
Yes.
Okay, so we go back to some of the other teams who are making their way to the ranch. Chip and Kim, they're going to take the boost with Cammy and Carly.
But something to note here is Cammy, Carly, and Chip and Kim are on an express bus.
Yeah.
Whereas Allison and Donnie realize as they're on their way that their bus is making a lot of stops.
Yes. Even though Allison and Donnie's bus had left earlier than Chip and Kim's.
And Chip and Kim and Cammy and Carly think that they're in a battle for last place.
And immediately there is tension. We go to Jim and Marsha, who are in the back of their taxi. They're still talking about the Linda and Karen, and they are convinced that Linda and Karen did that to deceive them about the whole exchanging fiasco. And Jim says, quote, "It wasn't a mistake. It was obviously unadulterated bloody lie."
They're taking this to heart. Meanwhile, Linda and Karen...
Unbothered queens.
No, they do surprisingly well. So the pit stop is right after the roadblock, and it's quite simple. Basically, from the roadblock, they just get on a horse-drawn carriage, and they're, like, brought to the pit stop at this really nice villa. And Linda and Karen are in third, so they're doing mighty fine. They don't believe it. Are they third or fourth?
They're fourth.
Fourth, my bad. But they can't believe it. Like, they really, when Phil tells them that, they don't believe him.
Yes. So it is a battle between Brandon and Myrna. For at the roadblock to get the bandana, and Brandon gets it first. And when he got the clue, this was really bizarre to me. He took the clue from the person who was facilitating the task and didn't open it. He walked over and gave it to Nicole to open, as if it was like a child bringing their bag of chips to their mom to open. for them.
I don't, maybe he was tired from the roadblock. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe they made some sort of rule about, like, you're always going to be the one to open the clue. I don't know. I did pick up on that, though.
It was bizarre to me. I was confused.
Yes, but regardless, they are lucky, and they are able to keep just a bit of a lead on Charlotte and Myrna,
yeah,
and get to pit stop first. And Phil, does Phil even inform us about a vacation for them?
They get no prize.
Not that we heard of, at least.
No, well, if they did get a prize, I'm sure we would have heard about it because we had to plug in the American Airlines website.
Yeah, no American Airlines
plug. Yeah.
American Airlines website.
Which is plug. One thing about these early seasons. I would be so upset if I didn't get a prize for winning when the team who won before me did. How are they choosing?
No, that's fair.
What prize goes where?
I feel like they just cut it for time or something.
They might.
Or they just didn't have a good reaction to the prize. Maybe they were like, we don't want that.
We didn't
want
to go to Ecuador or something. But
exactly.
It is like a little bit of a foot race to the finish line because Brandon, Nicole, Sharon, and Myrna kind of get off their horse-drawn carriages at the same time. And they're running, but Nicole and Brandon do beat them out. And Charlotte and Myrna are in second. And Charlotte is kind of losing her voice here. She's been doing a lot of yelling.
We got. That's what the whistle's for.
That's what the whistle's for. We see Jim and Marcia miraculously in third.
They are also, like the bowling moms, they are shocked.
They cannot believe their ears that they're in third. And I kind of thought that they were in the back this whole time after the whole exchange.
This, I will say, this
ordeal.
Whole getting to the roadblock thing messed up the order. They didn't do a good job of establishing what teams were in what order in terms of the middle of the pack, I would say.
Yes. Okay, the editors are kind of doing a good job here of making us think that all the teams at the back are close. At this point, I don't know who's the farthest behind because we have Allison and Donnie, whose bus left first, except it's slower than the others. Meanwhile, we see Lance and Marshall's taxi needs to stop for gas, which apparently takes five ever.
Yeah, they are complaining about how long it takes to fill up with natural gas.
So that's making us think, well, maybe it takes 2 hours to fill up a vehicle with natural gas in Argentina. So maybe Marshall and Lance will be eliminated. I don't know. So Cam and Carly and Chip and Kim's bus, they get to a bus stop and then they decide to get a taxi from there. Is this what happened?
I guess they need a taxi from the bus stop anyway to get to the ranch. But there's just this really, really, like, not awkward, but just, it's funny, honestly, this funny moment where one of the twins and Chip are sitting in the back seat of the same cab because neither is moving. They are not moving, but also, like, someone does need to move because someone needs to take a cab. But neither of them wants to give it up.
This was the highlight of the episode to me, where they
sprint so
the taxi, and yeah, they're both just stubbornly sitting there. And meanwhile, Chip is narrating the event while it is literally happening. He's sitting in the back talking to the camera, saying that, telling us what happened, that they're just going to sit there. It's do or die. Meanwhile, Cammy is just sitting right there beside him.
It was comedy gold. But eventually it does get resolved. Another cab comes and Chip and Kim just decide to run, get in that one. And I think, is it around here? No, actually, that's my bad. So keep in mind, they think they're still fighting for last here.
Yes.
So they have no clue that there is still another team behind them. And I guess that, and again, with the, you know, the order of the teams being hard to establish, I guess that means that the brothers are ahead of them.
Yes.
Because you see the brothers complete the task and you see them check in, but you don't really see much of them beyond them refueling.
Yeah. So we go back to the pit stop and see Lyndon, Karen, Bowling Moms in fourth, Bob and Joyce in fifth, Colin and Christy, who we frankly did not see either, they are in sixth, Marshall and Lance in seventh. Okay. So we now we're kind of getting Kim and Carly, they're giving commentary. They're saying that Chip was too assertive, too aggressive. They saw a different side of Chip. They don't like him anymore. So now these teams are adversaries. All of a sudden.
They're fighting to the... There's an amazing moment, for lack of better words, where both teams are at the roadblock and Chip and Kim are opening the clue and deciding who's going to do it. And Chip's like, I'll do it. And then the camera looks up and there's a sound effect and he sees one of the twins entering yes. the paddock already to do the, and he just like, boom, takes out. Like, it was so funny.
It was so incredibly intense. The way that they were battling it out during this roadblock.
It was so funny.
They were both so hungry and they thought they were fighting for last place. But little do they know.
And even there's a really dramatic scene where one of the twins is chasing down a calf and Chip like dives in at the last moment and steals the bandana off the calf.
I know, it's like slow motion, it's like kind of pauses for a second. It's so dramatic.
He looks like a baseball player about to steal a base. Like, it's so good.
It's so good.
And so he's out of there. They're running. They get onto their carriages. The twins are not far behind him. But ultimately, Chip and Kim get to the mat. And they're shocked to find out that they're not ninth. They're eighth.
This was baffling news to them. And Chip says, quote, "Phil, you give good news a lot." And then we get to Cammy and Carly, who are expecting to be in last. They pull up to the pit stop.
They're like, okay, just say it. Like, they're prepping themselves. They're getting ready to say goodbye, and they are floored
to be in ninth place. The like looks on their faces of just disbelief and confusion. We're priceless. They were speechless.
They will live to see another day, but Allison and Donnie will not. Yeah. And here's the thing.
Oh, I was gonna say, and one thing is one of my favorite Amazing Race tropes, I guess, is the team who thinks that they're eliminated but actually isn't. I love the reactions. It is quite it's fun. So good.
And I like that Phil's learning to milk those moments. I know, now.
Because he's so sincere and morose when he's delivering this news.
Yeah, Cammy and Carly.
Yeah.
Your team number, and then he goes up, your team number 9. Yeah. Yes, so Allison and Donnie, they trudge up, and like even as this just I think defines their team. Even as they're running to the pit stop, they are bickering with each other like, "You're stupid, you're a loser, I hate you." Like, just and it's baffling.
Yeah, it is. So yeah, Donnie is kind of running ahead of Allison, and Allison is saying, "Can you not get so far in front of me? You're too far in front of me." And Donnie replies with, "You know what? You've disappointed me severely." So
ruthless.
They pull up to the mat, and from first to worst, eliminated.
And Donnie has a sequence where he's talking about, he's like, "I don't know why I'm here with her. She's like the last person I would ever want to do this with. I would rather do this with anyone but her."
And he said, I hate her.
But then says something like, "We have a lot to figure out about our relationship or about our love." And I'm like, maybe it's not there.
Yeah. He says, quote, "This race taught me to redefine my love for Allison." Credits. It's over.
And I'm like, again, I know it's edited and I know that I don't want to be judgmental or be rude, but it sounds like there's no love there.
I don't think so. I don't think they're long for their relationship is long for this world.
Yes. And like you said, credits. We don't get to see a scene from next week. We don't see anything else of them. That is goodbye to Allison and Donnie.
Goodbye to them. I don't think Allison really gets a word at the end. It's just Donnie going off. And it does not leave the best taste in your mouth to finish off this episode.
Yeah.
But I'm not upset to be losing them here. I think they're a team we've seen many times before and were uninspired.
We've seen this trope before. Let's move on.
Yeah, it's like less... I guess probably similar to Tara and Will.
I would say they're the closest, but they give Tara and Will another leg up.
Yeah.
In a different way.
Okay. So that's all for episode 2. It's anybody's game, really.
It is, and I like that, though. That is kind of the one thing I really like about this season, is it is truly unpredictable.
Yes. Yeah, like our top 3 teams. Hold on, who are the top 3?
This leg?
Yeah, Jim and Marsha were top 3. I thought they would have been eliminated by now with Jim's knee injury.
Oh, I know.
Who else? Charlotte and Myrna.
Myrna and Charlotte.
And then also Brandon and Nicole. I guess Brandon they're predictable. But still, we're seeing a little bit.
I'm really, like, the only, like, again, I wasn't super impressed by this episode. I was kind of surprised when it ended. I was like, oh, that's it. But what I am liking about this season, one of the only things, is how unpredictable it is.
Yes. And I think the cast does have potential. I don't think we're seeing it right now.
No, I'm waiting. I'm waiting for that kind of wow.
For things to fall into place. But until then, you can follow us on Instagram at Amazing Race Rewind.
Send us an email if you have any comments about some things we've pondered, amazingracerewind@gmail.com. And yeah, Spotify, Apple Music, wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah. And we'll see you for the third episode of season 5 next time. Okay, goodbye.
Boop, boop. Bye.